The Declaration of Independence proclaims that our rights are endowed upon us by our Creator, and the first right listed is the right to life. But more than 50 years of abortion has done much to undermine the right to life in America. Meanwhile, the Hyde Amendment, introduced back in 1976 by Congressman Henry Hyde of Illinois, that amendment has worked to lessen the negative impact of abortion. The Hyde Amendment prohibits taxpayer-funded abortions. It's estimated that this amendment has saved perhaps as many as 2.6 million unborn babies. Yet critics note that President Trump, who's done much to advance pro-life measures, said recently that we need to be, quote, a little bit flexible on Hyde, end quote, meaning the Hyde Amendment. Caitlin Connors is the political director for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Caitlin joins us right now. Caitlin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Jerry. I really appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for covering this.
Sure. Okay, first of all, why don't you give us a little bit of background on the Hyde Amendment, and then we'll talk about the president's recent remarks and so forth.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned it, that the Hyde Amendment has been a longstanding part of certainly the pro-life movement and the Republican Party going back to the 1970s, and of course named after Congressman Henry Hyde. And the Hyde Amendment is pretty simple. It just simply states that taxpayers will not be footing the bill for abortions. So our federal tax dollars will not pay for abortions. And as I said, this has really been a pillar of the pro-life movement and a bare minimum that we have asked from pro-life politicians since its inception back in the 70s. So where we are right now is in the middle of a very rigorous healthcare debate. And of course, probably many of your listeners have heard about the Obamacare subsidies, whether or not they're going to be extended, what the future of our healthcare system will look like. And in the midst of that conversation, talks about flexibility on the Hyde Amendment had come up. And so certainly no pro-life representative in the House or the Senate, as these debates have continued on, should be about any sort of flexibility on the Hyde Amendment. And so I think since that statement has come out, we have seen leadership and knowing that really the Hyde Amendment is a non-negotiable piece for any healthcare package moving forward.
Well, you know, President Trump, to his credit, has really honestly, ever since he became the president he was elected in 2016 and then started serving in 2017. He has been tremendous on the whole pro-life issue. So a 6-second soundbite where he says, hey, let's be flexible on Hyde, seems to be almost out of characteristic with what he's actually done. But I'd like you to elaborate further.
Yeah, I think that's right, Jerry. You know, I mean, it's undeniable that President Trump has been the most pro-life president that we've had. And in fact, Roe versus Wade was overturned because of the Supreme Court that he put together. And certainly several other policies, the Mexico City policy, for example, other pro-life measures have been done under his administration. So, I would agree with you. You know, I think I can't explain, you know, the specific comment on flexibility, maybe just a way of trying to negotiate something that is, you know, a major situation that we have in this country with our healthcare system. And even since that comment, I think it's been clear that, you know, where the pro-life movement certainly stands, and we've had, you know, recommitments to protecting the Hyde Amendment. And, you know, President Trump, he's been, as you mentioned, of course, first elected in 2016, but in his second administration, we're officially after the 1-year mark. And, you know, he has pledged repeatedly to make the Hyde Amendment permanent law, including in any healthcare coverage. And one of his first actions in taking office last year was prioritizing the reversal of President Biden's Hyde violations. So certainly that comment would be, you know, differentiating from his previous positions. And I think, again, as we said, you know, that comment came a couple of weeks ago. I think we've seen the recommitment to Hyde, certainly from House and Senate leadership, saying that, you know, no healthcare package from either of our bodies is going to be negotiable on the Hyde Amendment. So we've been very appreciative to see the strong leadership there. And I do feel confident that we will have Hyde protected in any healthcare package, certainly that the GOP supports moving forward.
Now, I don't want to sound like a name dropper, but I did once have the privilege to interview Henry Hyde about the Constitution and the way sometimes it was being abused by Supreme Courts and different courts, mm-hmm. you know. And I'll never forget one of his sound bites in that interview. He said, the Constitution is like silly putty to some of these, you know, non-elected judges, including Supreme Court members, you know, that basically twist it to say what they want it to say, not what it actually says. And so, meanwhile, I've got to ask you this question. Isn't it amazing that Hyde's amendment has survived all these different times, including the threat from Obamacare itself?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is amazing. You were able to interview him and just the quotable nature of Congressman Hyde. There's so many great quotes of his. But yes, I mean, the Hyde Amendment, as we've both said, been around since the 1970s. And, you know, there's always this conversation about whether or not the pro-life issue, well, what about from a political perspective? Is it, you know, politically wise to be pro-life? Well, I would say absolutely that it is. But even when you look at this specific issue of whether or not taxpayers should be funding abortions, pro-choice voters say, yes, I'm pro-choice, but no, I don't want my tax dollars to pay for those abortions. So when you even look at this from a political perspective, you know, we are, of course, right at the middle of or at the beginning of this midterm year. And of course, everybody is thinking about their elections and holding on to majorities, which, by the way, we certainly need to hold on to our pro-life majority in the House and the Senate. This is no time to abandon our principles. And this issue in particular, taxpayer funding of abortion, is something that has been a bare minimum standard for pro-life voters, but also something that pro-choice voters support. And about 60% of voters nationwide support the keeping their tax dollars from funding abortion. So when you look at this, certainly from a moral perspective, Hyde should be in any healthcare package moving forward. When you look at it from a political perspective, it's also the wise choice.
You know, it's interesting when it comes to Americans and abortion, it seems as if, certainly in some of these elections, we saw last November in Virginia, for example, the Republican candidate was definitely pro-life and the Democrat candidate was pro-choice, so-called. But she, in effect, ran as a moderate on other issues. And then when she got into office, no, she's running, acting as a very strong, you know, person of the left. And abortion, though, is so sacrosanct to people on the left. Why is that, Caitlin? I don't understand.
You know, when we're having this specific conversation about Hyde as well and and having any sort of flexibility on it, the first question that always comes to my mind is, what flexibility has the Dems or certainly the abortion industry ever had when it came to abortion? From their perspective, we have to be even more radical on this issue, that abortion should be legal throughout pregnancy. There should be no restrictions whatsoever. We should have taxpayer funding of abortion. We should strip parental consent laws. We should allow for minors to obtain abortions. We should allow for conscience rights to be stripped from medical providers. Things that are just wildly out of step with your average voter. And yet the Democrat Party stands by this platform. And it really is. It's an amazing thing that, from their perspective, they don't see that as a political liability. They should, because the majority of Americans don't agree with them. In fact, about 70% of abortions of Americans do believe that there should be some sort of limitation on abortion. They don't believe that late-term abortion, for example, should be legal in this country. And so for our side, for the pro-life side or for the Republican side, to be at all timid about our pro-life position is really unacceptable, especially when we're talking about something as fundamental as taxpayer funding of abortion.
You know what's so amazing, too? I feel that since we're on politics, okay, if a politician gets the issue of life wrong, they tend to get everything else wrong, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. If the politician gets the issue of life correct, they tend to get the other big issues correct.
Yeah, Jerry, I think that's because it's fundamental. You know, if you are right on life, then everything else tends to fall into place, to your point, because the right to life is the most fundamental. It's where every other right begins. If you don't have life to begin with, nothing else matters. And so I think for our politicians, those who are running for office, who are not just pro-life, but are not intimidated to speak about it, or certainly are not worried about thinking that it's a political liability. They go out on the campaign trail and they're able to speak to their position. We know that the other side is always going to be well-funded. They are always going to attack us for our pro-life position. They are going to lie about what our pro-life position means. And if we're not bold enough to say, no, I am pro-life and I'm unashamed to be pro-life, here's what I believe, and really are just transparent with the voter, I know that voters hear that, and even when they don't disagree or when they don't agree with you entirely about your position, they appreciate the fact that you're bold enough to say what it is and you're not running away from it. We have now historical evidence from elections past to show, you know, since the Dobbs decision came down, there's been a couple schools of thought. And one is that, okay, well, the abortion issue is too politically charged. I'm not going to talk about it on the campaign trail because, you know, it doesn't poll well, for example. Well, those politicians who run on the ostrich strategy, as we would call it, burying their head in the sand and unwilling to talk about the issue, typically lose their election because voters want to know where you are on this issue. And we know that the other side is going to come at you and define your position, whether you're willing to talk about it or not. So, you know, we see now and we know that clarity on this issue, boldness on this issue, and certainly not, you know, betraying the base in terms of where you stand and being willing to stand for it yourself. We've seen that be a recipe for success in elections. And so we encourage, of course, any of our current elected representation to stay strong in Washington. We know the debates are tough. We know what they have to deal with, especially on this healthcare issue, is massive and built upon many, many interests. But Hyde is fundamental to it. And to your point, if you get life right, everything else will fall into place. So we are hopeful that anything moving forward will have those Hyde protections. And, you know, we know that we have to encourage our elected representation. We have to pray for them too. I mean, they're in the middle of it. Washington, as you know, can be a really tough place. And so, you know, we're confident about moving forward, having those Hyde protections. But certainly all of those, that are elected to represent us need our support. So, you know, for those who are in Washington, those pro-life politicians, I would encourage that encouragement from your listeners and those, around the country to make sure they are standing firm on Hyde and knowing that we as voters have their back for doing so.
All right. We have 1 minute left. This is the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which includes this famous sentence: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." How about a comment from you for 45 seconds on the right to life as mentioned in the Declaration of Independence?
Wow, and what a time to talk about it, our 250th birthday coming up here. Yes, the right to life is number one. And without the right to life, we don't have any other rights. It has to start there. And we have to defend it at all costs. There are many angles to this issue, of course. We're talking about taxpayer funding today. We want to see, as we celebrate our 250th anniversary, we want to see more wins on the life issue, protect the taxpayer, protect the babies, and support their mothers as well. The pro-life movement is strong. We have great leadership in place. We're hopeful as we move forward. And you're so right. Without the right to life, we don't have any of our other rights. So God bless this country. We're all lucky to be a part of it.
Caitlin Connors, SBAProLife.org, for more information. Caitlin, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.